We're going to jump around a little bit on the schedule because if those of you and the members of the public don't know, for whatever infinite wisdom, the presiding officer scheduled both veterans groups simultaneously. I suppose that's good for some of you because then you can shuttle back and forth, but some of us are getting old and shuttling back and forth is not so easy. If you look at today's schedule, we have two public hearings, SB 133 and SB 461, and then we have an informational meeting, and then we have some cleanup work and work sessions that are down below in the schedule. I'm going to ask Nicole to come up, though, because she has to go elsewhere shortly, and we're going to get a quick update on the World War II memorial, and then from there we're going to move to SB 133 and then SB 146. And if you would, for the record, please, Madam.
Thank you, Chair Boquist. For the record, my name is Nicole Pommettier. I'm here today on behalf of the World War II Memorial Foundation. Just to give a very, very quick update, first of all, thank you to all of you who participated in the World War II honor ceremonies on Tuesday. I think for anybody who was there and listening to the veterans who were speaking and the messages that they had to bring back, it was really extremely moving and a fantastic opportunity to see the piece of the memorial. I'm just here today to update. We have a very small request that will be headed hopefully to the rebalance. We've been working on this for a while, led originally by Representative Matthews, who originally served on the board, and had a number of legislators. I believe all of you have signed on to that request, headed to hopefully to rebalance. As part of that request for $250,000, we from the foundation said we will match that with private fundraising, and I'm just here to update you that we have matched that through a couple of very generous individuals who have come forward with that money. So we do have the $250,000 to match that. However, to get that, we need the other. So we are hoping that that action can happen during the rebalance and that the legislature can put their stamp of support behind this very, very important memorial to bring it to fruition by Pearl Harbor Day in December, which is the goal for completion of the memorial. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Madam Vice Chair? Question?
No.
Senator Olson? No question. No, thank you very much. Keep us posted, and you could probably go back and I see that the presiding officer's staff has come in and remind her of that same request. Thank you very much. With that, Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in the habit of starting every meeting with portraits of women combat veterans. There's a lot of attention being put on women and their role in the military, et cetera. And so I have a portrait that I want to share with you as soon as I get to it. Move on, because I can't find. Oh, here we go. All right. This is from This is from Captain Beth Roller, U.S. Army. She says, deployment for me was an amazing experience. It was a privilege to be over there, to be doing what I was doing, especially supporting the war fighters. Taking care of them, boosting their morale, it was peaceful. I mean, you don't want to think of Iraq as a peaceful place. We get so wrapped up in a lot of the little things here, but you're there to do your mission, and that's what you do. You do your mission, you make sure it's taken care of. And there were quite a few scares. Being on the road, your heart just pounds the whole time you're out there. But it's an adrenaline pounding, and I look forward to the convoy days to get out and actually stretch my legs, get off of the FOB, and just get in there. So I really enjoyed my deployment experience. I honestly believe, and I've talked to a lot of people who feel this way, if it weren't for families back home and things like that, shoot, I would be deployed my entire Army career if I could, because it really gives you a sense of meaning. It's like any job. You get in a rut. And every day I do the same thing, and I go to meetings after meetings after meetings. What I am really here for, what's my real mission? Over there, you know, you're there to do one thing, and that's what you do. And it's really great having a purpose. For a year in Iraq, you know what you're going to wear. There's no choices in your wardrobe. You either wear this or you wear a set of physical training uniforms and no civilian clothes. You go to the DFAC to eat, and you might have three main dishes to choose from. You eat what's there. It's good food. So when I came home, making decisions was hard. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I can tell you, generally what you're wearing is 100 pounds of flak. That's the first problem. And it's not peaceful. And if it wasn't for family,
many people wouldn't make it, that's for sure. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. With that, we're going to open a public hearing on SB 133. Mr. Mann, if you would come forward while council is teeing us up here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 133 creates a personal and corporate income tax credit for employment of veterans if certain conditions are met. It applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2013, before January 1st, 2019, and takes effect on the 91st day following adjournment sine die.
Mr. Mann, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tom Mann. I'm with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I believe you have written testimony I turned in earlier in the week. Senate Bill 133 is interesting. We talked about this during the interim, and we actually began talking about this in 2008 with the Governor's Task Force on Veteran Services, as we determined that veteran unemployment was at a much steeper rate than the general population unemployment. We thought, what do we do to help veterans find work, especially in our rural areas? And a lot of ideas were bandied about, and people started talking about a tax credit. What if we could incentivize employers to hire veterans? The federal government, as you may know, did such a tax credit. It's called the Work Opportunity Tax Credit, and it has had marginal success in the state, and we thought, well, maybe there's a way to further incentivize these employers. Now, I will say that this bill was drafted before Walmart came out and said they were going to hire veterans, before Hertz came out and said they were going to hire veterans, and some of the other corporations decided to determine that they were going to really focus on veterans. So the question at hand, this was a bill that the committee wanted to submit, this is not an agency bill, is this a necessary bill? I think that from the employment standpoint, we still have a lot of unemployed veterans. Let me tell you some numbers that we're concerned about at our agency. We get about 6,000 DD-214s returned to our agency each year, and these are voluntary returns. So if a veteran's getting out of service, they can voluntarily say, I want my separation document to go to my state DVA so they know where I'm coming home. Well, we thought we kind of knew how many were coming home, about 6,000 a year. When DOD came in and said, no, you had 12,000 in 2012, there were 6,000 we didn't know about because they did not opt to have their paperwork sent to us. On top of that, so that kind of doubled our numbers. On top of that, we know through the force reduction that's happening with the military over the next 5 years, we're looking at least 30,000 Oregonians that are going to be force reduced and coming home. So as we're thinking about what's over the hill, because I think we're doing pretty good right now with outreach and all the work we're doing, it's over the hill we're really worried about because we have a whole bunch of veterans coming back to Oregon. Will there be jobs for them? Will employers be willing to hire them? If you talk to Bureau of Labor and Industries and others, they'll tell you employers are a little gun-shy of veterans. They've heard too many stories about post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury and all these other things that the press has done a great job of alerting the public about these issues. But on the other hand, it's scared off some employers. Jim Booker's here from Employment and can talk to you about that. And we go out and try to convince employers that not every veteran's broken, but there's a stigma that's happening out there. So we thought that Senate Bill 133 was just another tool in the toolbox. When it was drafted, we thought it was a good idea, that it piggybacks pretty well on this WOTC tax credit the federal government gives to allow an employer to have this opportunity to hire a veteran. Now, I'll share one more thing. I spent half my life in the private sector, and I've owned two businesses. And when you think about a $1,000 tax credit, I kind of smiled when I thought about that because I said, if I had a $30,000 a year job for somebody with benefits, that $1,000 would be about 40% of 1 month's pay. Not much of an incentive, but if you tie it with the WOTC tax credit, it actually is a little bit more, because that tax credit can be as much as $9,600 for a veteran. And so that is a little bit more incentivizing, I think. So I leave it at your discretion as to what you think about Senate Bill 133, given some of the things that have happened since the interim regarding veteran employment, how companies have been stepping up to hire veterans and have made that a priority. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator Vice Chair, question? Senator Olson, question?
Council, what I'd like you to do is ask LRO to give us a revenue impact statement on what this would be in their anticipation and the agency to work with it, and then move it forward for a, because it has a subsequent rule of two tax credits, which I sit on, but then schedule another public hearing next week for a possible work session in case we decide to do something with it. But I do want to have the LRO version for it. And then in addition to that, I would ask that the military department next week be prepared to kind of address the deployment, their anticipation, so on and so forth. I see Captain Garcia back there writing, so that we get a picture of where we're really going forward with employment and reintegration as it comes back. Thank you.
Roger that.
Those questions. Thank you, committee members. We're going to close the public hearing on SB 133 as I don't have anybody else signed up. And I'm going to open a public hearing on SB 461. And in 461, I have, if I can see it here, this 461, this is. I have Mr. Morgan. If you'll stand in the wings there, I think Madam Vice Chair is going up there. And then is it Mr. Shaw? Okay. Come on up. Efficiency here.
In the middle.
Okay.
We're not like the U.S. Navy. Our aircraft carriers are going to sea in this building, so. Go ahead, Madam Counsel, if you would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 461 permits a portion of Interstate 84 to be designated the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway. This also has a subsequent referral to Business and Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Senator Lori Monas Anderson. I represent the cities of Gresham, Troutdale, Fairview, and Wood Village, and parts of East Portland. I'm here testifying in support of Senate Bill 461, renaming I-84 the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway. And it would be a tribute to the armed forces that served in the war in Vietnam between 1959 and 1975, especially those who became veterans and those who are returning veterans who served. Vietnam veterans have a special place in my heart because they come from my era. I had many friends who served, several of whom died, and some who came back with post-traumatic stress. I had the honor of flying in and out of Vietnam, Saigon and Cameron Bay, specifically when I was working for Pan American Airlines. And it was 1969 and 1970, and my very first exposure to war and the impact that it had on soldiers. I remember when they would board the planes, and some of their faces were ashen. Some of them had a sort of a vacant stare in their eyes. Many were just kind and very professional, but also I could not believe how quiet they were as we were flying them to their R&R. I was extremely moved, and I know I grew up a lot during those fly-ins in and out. This bill would mean a lot to me and to Vietnam veterans. It was an unpopular war. On September 15, 2012, the Oregon State Council of Vietnam Veterans of America approved a proposal to designate all of Interstate 84 in Oregon as the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway. And the hope is to dedicate this Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway on Veterans Day 2013. And this gentleman who's to the right of me is one of my friends from high school who served in Vietnam, Val Shaw.
Thank you, Lori. I call her Lori because we did go to school together. We're schoolmates. My name is Val Shaw. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I served two tours in Vietnam, 1967 to 1969. When I came home, things were a little different than when I left. There were a lot of people espousing peace and love, but they weren't showing us a lot of peace and love. We came back and basically put our uniform away and went to work. 85% of the Vietnam veterans made that transition back. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Vietnam veterans and drug use. Actually, they have a lower drug use than the people that were the same age at the same time. So, move forward 40-some years. Now Vietnam veterans have an 87% approval rating, favorable rating. One of the things that veterans do, Vietnam veterans do, is when we talk to each other, if we first meet and talk, when we, somewhere along the line, we say, welcome home, because we did not get a welcome home. To have this road designated Vietnam Veterans Memorial, I can't think of a better road. It runs east to west. People come to Oregon, either come I-5 or I-84. It is a large road. And to have it designated Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway would be saying, thank you for your service. Welcome home. Thank you.
Sir Olson?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your service, and welcome to your legislature, and welcome home.
Thank you.
And we appreciate that. And thanks, Senator Mona Sanderson, for her service, too. Mr. Morgan, if you would, please.
Sorry, I'm so slow.
That's perfectly okay in this room.
I want to thank you for allowing me to be here today, Chairman Loquist and members of the board.
Can you
My name is hard to hear.
No, just state your name. You're going there all perfectly fine.
My name is Ronald H. Morgan. I am the president of the Vietnam Veterans of America Oregon State Council, and I'm here to present the testimony for Stuart A. Steinberg. He wasn't able to make it over here today. He's stuck in Bend, so I had short notice. Anyway, I served with the 1st Infantry Division in Vietnam, the Big Red One, from four campaigns from July of 67 through July of 68. My 26-year career with the U.S. Army included service with the Army Security Agency. I was a German linguist and served over 5 years in Berlin back in the early 70s. And then after that, I did serve about 3 years with the National Security Agency as a intel analyst. And then I did 12 years with the Special Operations and service-connected disabilities ultimately led to my retirement. So I've been retired since 92. I served my community as a Sheriff's Reserve Deputy for a number of years in the 80s before I went to work with the State Department of Corrections. And I did serve there for 15 years until my disabilities required me to retire in 98. Since the last 13 years, I have dedicated my time to support my fellow veterans serving in the VVA and several other service organizations. I've been active in both the local chapter levels and the state level in leadership positions with several different agencies, organizations. And it's with great honor that I present the following testimony as it reflects both my sentiments and those of thousands of our brothers in arms. And I'll read Stuart's testimony. My name is Stuart A. Steinberg. I am a co-chairman for the committee that seeks to have the bill before you, SB 461, become law and part of Oregon's great tradition of honoring its veterans. I served with the Army from 66 to 71 and was in Vietnam for 18 months, 68 through 70. I volunteered to go then and then volunteered to extend my tour. In this regard, I was no different than most of the men I was honored to serve with. I was an explosive ordnance disposal operator and was wounded twice. I have the Bronze Star with V device for heroism in ground combat and the second Bronze Star with and two Army Commendation Medal Stars for meritorious achievement on the ground operations against hostile forces. I went to college under the GI Bill until 78 And I have been an accredited service officer for Vietnam Veterans of America over the past 34 years. I've assisted at least 2,000 of my fellow veterans, their widows and children, with their claims and benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm proud to say that I am a co-founder of the Central Oregon Veterans Outreach in Bend, one of Oregon's premier nonprofit organizations that delivers comprehensive services to the homeless, disabled, and disadvantaged veterans of Central Oregon. I'm asking that this bill be passed as a way of to further honor those Oregonians who served in Vietnam, Thailand, Laos, and Cambodia. In fact, any veteran of the Vietnam War will know that they are being honored no matter what state he or she lives in if they travel down Interstate 84 in Oregon. And a caveat here, I just learned that the Idaho legislature is considering renaming their portion of I-84 to the Vietnam Memorial, Veterans Memorial Highway. So that's going to be a long stretch. And maybe Utah and Wyoming will pick up too.
Sure.
Well, Utah, that's as far as it goes, I guess.
It was a long war.
Yeah. Takes a lot of miles to cover it. No. Even though our closest held memories of our time in Southeast Asia concern the men we served with in close and often brutal quarters, we share the bond with all Vietnam veterans and often say when we meet one of us, welcome home. I do not have to go into detail about how often these men and women who served in the Vietnam theater were shabbily treated upon their return from what had become an unpopular war. That said, it is apparent that for the past 11 years and ever since we began to send our very best young men, people, to Afghanistan and 2 years earlier into Iraq, people have come to better understand what it means when a young person goes off to war in the name of the United States. And as a result, Vietnam veterans have now been given their just due from our very personal national memorial, the Wall, and to many state memorials like Oregon's own, to highways being named in our honor, and even to small town memorials like the one we have here in Bend. Because of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the country now has a clearer picture of the impact of extreme combat trauma on many of our soldiers. Many of the men and women who served in Vietnam have for years been dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder and the murderous diseases many of us suffer and die from that were caused by exposure to herbicides. It took many years, too many, from my perspective as a service officer to be justly recognized for these problems. I think one of the major issues that has kept many of us from seeking help or even admitting we're having problems has been solved by the country's newfound understanding of what it means to go to war, survive things very few have experienced, and then come home and return to civilian life. There is no question in my mind that recognition of our sacrifices by our fellow citizens and honoring those who served in Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, and Laos with remembrances such as the proposed Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway helps those in need to further the process of coming all the way home. Thank you for your time and energy in making SB 461 the law of the state.
Thank you, and thank you for your time coming before this committee, and thank you for your service to this nation. Madam Vice Chair, I
also want to so thank you for coming forward in support of this bill. It is time to welcome you home, and this would be, I think, a good way of welcoming you home.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Senator Olson?
It is an exceptional bill. It is time to welcome home the Vietnam-era veterans, and this is good, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Council, if you would be kind enough, because this is posted for next week already, to make sure we have a fiscal, and I'd like you to reach out to ODOT and the Transportation Commission. I do not want to send this over to Senator Byers' Committee at Business and Transportation and then have them pitch a fit. So I would like them on record in this committee, whatever ODOT and the commission's position is. And we can make that happen next week. And again, I thank you for your testimony, and it is our intent to move the bill out of this committee next week.
I did have a little bit more a comment or two about
go ahead.
The we have many volunteers who have already stepped forward to use their equipment even, so it's cost neutral. And there's volunteers all along the whole way that are going to make sure these signs are posted properly, you know, to the specs and everything. But we have cranes available and trucks to transport the signs and everything all the way from Portland to Bourbon already.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair.
Go ahead. Ladies first.
If the Department of Transportation needs to contact some of these volunteers, who would they go through?
Well, they can contact me, and I can...
And that's with the Vietnam Oregon State Council?
Yes. My
Vietnam Veterans of America.
My name and address is at the top of the testimony.
Yes,
Council's ahead of us. You have it right, Council?
I do.
Good.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, would it be possible for this committee to author a letter to Idaho and to Utah, the length of Interstate 84, and ask for their continuing support, or ask that they get on board and make Interstate 84 the entire length a Vietnam Veterans Highway?
Senator Olson, if there was a consensus of the members present, we would ask Council to draft such a letter. And I think there is a consensus. So if you'll draft a letter to bring forth to the next committee meeting, Council, if you would please.
We'll do, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you again for your service. And with that, we're going to close the public hearing on SB 461. We're going to, I think, first, do we have an LC draft, right? I'm going to open a work session for the purpose of a measure introduction. And I would note that any vote in favor of any measure reduction is merely a piece of legislative concept. It's not a vote on the merits of the concept itself. It is not indicative of voter's opinion or position, if any, or the contents of the measure. And refresh our memory, what is the relating clause purpose here? Because this is a relating clause bill, I'm pretty sure.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The relating clause, this is a placeholder relating to law enforcement. It will likely be, I would imagine, referred to judiciary. There are a couple of relating clauses that are similar that are in that committee.
Thank you. And again, for the record, for members out there, if the LC is adopted and becomes a bill, it is being done so for the relating clause that is in it, because multiple times during the committee hearings towards the end of session, we have issues that arise or that are assigned to us by the presiding officer, and we have to kind of clean things up. With that.
Chair Boquist, I move that the following legislative concept be introduced as a committee bill, LC 3365, dated 2/11/2013.
Senator Monis Anderson moves that the following legislative concept, LC 3365, dated 2/11/2013, be introduced as a committee bill. Is there a discussion? Is there opposition? If there's no opposition, then it will be introduced as a legislative concept and committee bill. Thank you. With that, I'm going to close the work session on LC introductions, and I'm going to open a work session on SB 1. And if you would please, Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1 was previously heard last week on February 7th. There is no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and no subsequent referral. As a reminder, this is the measure that directs employers to provide a notice and day off on Veterans Day or an alternative day to employees who are veterans if certain conditions are met. It permits noncompliance for disruption or hardship, declares an emergency and is effective on passage.
And members, we are in a work session, and for the record, I'd like to note that Senator Courtney is excused.
Chair Boquist. I move Senate Bill 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves SB 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion.
Well, I have one question. the business community never seems to come forward to make sure that, you know, to give us input. Have you received any information from anybody? Okay. Just to get that on the record, that they were certainly invited to testify.
And Madam Vice Chair, I would think they would be ringing off our hooks, but I don't see anybody in the business community. And if there is anybody, I'm open to opening the hearing. Thanks. If not, if you'll call the roll, please.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Manus Anderson?
Aye.
Chair Boquist?
Aye. And again, for the record, Senator Courtney is excused. The motion passes. If you would be delighted to carry this, Senator Olson, I would be happy to have you do that. The presiding officer asked for me to give the honor first to Senator Olson, and he will be in the supporting role.
I will open the roll close.
Okay. With that, I'm going to close the work session on SB 1. I'm going to open a work session on SJM 1, Madam Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Joint Memorial 1 has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact, and a subsequent referral to Judiciary, which was discussed on the record. Senator Boquist's recommendation will be to the floor and to rescind the subsequent referral. It was previously heard on February the 7th. As a reminder, it urges Congress to develop a means to disclose military convictions for crimes requiring registration as a sex offender.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Joint Memorial 1 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Judiciary be rescinded.
Vice Chair Manus Anderson moves SJM 1 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Judiciary be rescinded. Is there any discussion? And for the record, it will be the presiding officer that does determine whether that is rescinded. We have actually initiated those discussions. Any other input on this? If there is no further discussion, if you will call the roll, please.
Senator Courtney is excused. Senator Olson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Manus Anderson?
Aye.
Chair Boquist?
Aye. The motion passes. With that, I'm going to close the works. Should it go to the floor, Senator Manus Anderson, would you be delighted enough to carry it?
I would. Thank you very much.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to close the work session on SJM 1. I'm going to open a work session on SB 124, Madam Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 124 was also previously heard last week, February the 7th. It has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. It also has a subsequent referral to Judiciary. As a reminder, it requires courts to consider a defendant's service member status at sentencing. It declares an emergency and is effective on passage.
Thank you. And just for the record, I want to emphasize that SB 124 emphasizes the court consider evidence of the defendant's status as a service member when determining aggravation or mitigation. It does not exclude consideration of other evidence or confer preferential treatment on sentencing, one of those big old legal mumble-jumble things we have to put in there. Is there any further discussion on this bill? Again, it does have a subsequent referral to Senate Judiciary under Chairman Prusansky.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 124 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Judiciary by prior reference.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Madam Vice Chair moves SB 124 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Judiciary by prior reference. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, roll please.
Senator Courtney excused. Senator Olson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Manus Anderson?
Aye.
Chair Boquist.
Aye. The motion passes. This will go on to Judiciary. With that, I'm going to close the work session on SB 124. I want to cover a couple of points about next week. SB 133 will be moved forward and posted both a hearing and a work session to ensure that we have the input we need on 133 before it moves. Additionally, committee members, next week we're going to have a policy discussion on OMD and OEM's budget, that's the military department's budget, and the emergency
Office of Emergency Management budget. For the agencies, I want to reemphasize, it's not a budget discussion of your entire budget. It's those policy pieces that may be either increasing or decreasing based over the next biennium so that we can provide input downstairs to the Ways and Means Committee. So please do not come here with your big PowerPoint slide of 50 slides to give to the budget people. We're really only interested in an overview and the policy pieces only that are either increasing on the federal and state side or decreasing. In addition to that, we'll be having a discussion from OEM on earthquake drill and the administrative rules. Colleagues, if you'll remember, when we took our mandatory training, it says crawl under your desks in the chamber. That happens to be an administrative rule, fluky enough, in the state of Oregon that's where you're supposed to crawl. New science has proven it's not a very good idea. Most people get crushed and killed under there. And since it's an administrative rule, we're going to discuss that so that we can get the state back on track. And with that, other items, Madam Vice Chair? Senator Olson? With that, we're going to close the day's meeting for the Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness.